You are listening to a production of Woodridge Baptist Church in Kingwood, Texas. For more information about the church or help finding more resources, see woodridge.org.
Every week through the first couple of weeks of May, other than Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we are going to read this scripture together. It's what I call our theme scripture. It is the Great Commandment. You'll see it on the screen here in just a moment. I want us to, here we go. I'll find it when it comes right here. Matthew 22, there we go. I want us to read this together for one simple reason. Okay? If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will pray for them. We will build relationships with them. We will care for them. And we will share the good news of Jesus Christ with them somewhere down that process. Love the Lord your God. And so let's read this together. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourselves. All the law and prophets depend on these two commands. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray through your Holy Spirit, apply it to our lives this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. We're talking about prayer for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. I kind of looked through to find some facts about prayer that, to be honest, I didn't know about. I thought you might be interested in these. There are 650 prayers listed in the Bible. Now, there are about 450 answers to prayer. I don't know what happened to the other 200. They just didn't record it. But answers to those prayers. Paul mentions prayer in some form or fashion 41 times. The Bible tells us about Jesus that he prayed 25 times or recorded. I'm sure he prayed more, but those are recorded. The Bible lists different types of prayer, at least 9 or 10. I'm just going to give you a reference to a couple of those for general information about prayer. There are prayers of faith. An example of that is James 5. There are prayers of agreement. We might call that corporate prayer as a church, Acts 2:42. There are prayers of request. Petitions, we use that word. Philippians 4:6 is an example of that. There are prayers of thanksgiving all over the Psalms. There are prayers of worship, Acts 13. Prayers of consecration or dedication, Matthew 26:39. There are prayers of intercession. That's one of the normal ways that we pray, 1 Timothy 2. There's praying in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 through 15. All types of prayer that's modeled in the New Testament. But maybe the most important thing we can learn in reading the New Testament and studying Scripture is the prayer that Jesus used to teach us how to pray. Okay? You'll find that in Luke 11 or in Matthew 6. I want us to look at that, but before we look at that in depth, I just want to give you three quick outlines, three quick points about praying for every home. You have the insert. You've seen that on the screen. You know the new series says pray for every home. I just want to give you three really quick points before we look in detail into the model of prayer. Number one, when we pray, God should get all the glory and the credit. I love Psalms 115. Not to us, O Lord. Not to us. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. The prestige, the honor belongs to God, not to us. I was talking to someone on Friday and we're talking about Pray for Every Home, and I kind of said, I'm the third time, about halfway through the third time, praying for my 100 neighbors. Okay? Well, big deal. Okay? I should have been praying for my 100 neighbors for the last 35 or 40 years. Okay? All right? It's not for our glory. It's not because we think we've done something. When we pray for anyone, but especially as we consistently and strategically pray for our neighbors, all the glory and all the honor should go to God. No matter what our position, no matter what our authority, no matter what our resources, no matter what our talents, no matter what our gifts are, there are nothing compared to God. The honor and the glory and the prestige goes to God. And that honor and that prestige is not limited. It goes, it extends beyond the earth into the heavens. Not to us, but to you, God. And then second of all, when we do that, we should expect God-sized results. Two scriptures there, and I'll explain those. Let me read them first. Matthew 19, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then in Matthew 18, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Now that last scripture is written to the church. He's talking about the church when he's talking about that. He's telling the disciples right there that this is the power you have. And he says, if two of you agree in my name, and then he comes two or three. Let me tell you something. Agreeing in prayer is powerful. Agreeing in prayer is powerful. When we agree as a church to pray for this thing or that thing, and we agree we do that, and we pray together in concert, prayer is powerful. When you commit with your family, with your Sunday school class, with your other church members, when you commit to pray for your neighbors, one man told me today, said, you know, I did mine. I've already gone through mine, and here's a church member that's in mine. I told the church member, and so I know I'm praying for him, and it's okay. And he's praying for me also. There's power in that. Love thy neighbor. That's what Jesus said. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Let's just back up there for a second. This is real important. They were trying to trick Jesus. We know that. But this guy, this Pharisee, this teacher, he was saying, okay, Jesus, tell me if I had to pick one commandment, only one commandment, tell me what it would be. If I have to only do one, keep one, what would it be? Love the Lord your God. With all your heart and all your mind, and all your soul. And, Jesus said, the second one is like it. In other words, it says, it's just, I mean, it's there. I mean, you got to do both of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Just as a rich person, and that's what our first verse there in Matthew 19, you know, with God all things are possible. This follows after the parable that Jesus told about the rich young ruler. You remember that? He came and said, now I've done all this and this, and Jesus talked to him, and he looked in his heart, and he said, okay, I know you've done all that stuff. You're a great guy. You're a wonderful guy. But here's one more thing. He didn't say this, but this is the concept of the parable, okay? I'm looking in your heart, and you love your riches more than you love me. And so based upon that, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Okay, just like that rich person had to totally and completely and absolutely depend on God, okay, we have got to trust God, and when we pray, and when we care, And when we build relationships, we have to expect and know that God is going to bless those relationships and bless those prayers and bless those things that we do for our neighbors. When you pray, expect God-sized results. Don't just expect the results you might have. And then number three, pray for every home is a process. It's a movement. It's not a moment. It's not a program, okay? It is a process. It is really a lifelong process. I am sure of this, Paul says, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, okay? It's a process that we follow. So how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? This is not an entertaining video. There's no music behind it. It's not to entertain. It is to inform. 2 minutes and 33 seconds, I believe. I want you to watch exactly what you can do to do that. Let's look at that video. Guys, if I can do that, all of you can do that. Okay? I chose the daily email encouragement that comes there. And so when I wake up 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning, I look at my phone or my iPad, the first thing I look at, I have my five closest neighbors that I haven't prayed for to pray for right there, their names and their addresses, all public information, no private information. And that information's not perfect, okay? If you're very, very detailed and you like things just perfect, it's not perfect. There's some information there. Matter of fact, two people on my block, it looks like one house has two couples in it. Well, that's because they sold the house 4 or 5 months ago, and that information's in, and the new people who bought the house has the information in. Don't worry about the little bitty details. That process is there. You can customize that. One of our guys said this morning, if I got to pray for 100 people, I'm not going to pray for anybody. It's too much. Well, you don't see the 100 at one time, but that's okay. If you want to pray for your closest 10 neighbors and just continue doing that, do that. It's fine. You can customize that. I go all the way through mine, but I have my closest 20 that I pray for every day. I printed that off as a list. So once I do my five, okay, then I go back and I pray for those closest guys. Anything you want to do. Another one of the guys told me this morning, said, listen, I pray for the five, then I write a note to that person, just say, our church is praying for our neighbors, I'm praying for you, put it in the mailbox and mail it to them every day. However you want to do that. The fact of the matter is, if we love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and if we love our neighbors, we will pray for our neighbors. And this is an easy, perfect way to do that. If you do not use your computer at all and do not want to do that, just raise your hand, not now. That's in figuratively speaking. Let me know. Let Cindy know. We'll print your list for you. We'll enter you in there, print the list, and you can have a hard copy to be able to do that. Okay? Pray for every family. Pray for your folks. Okay, let's go back to the model of prayer. Spend about 15 minutes talking on that, okay? The parallel passage to our passage today, Matthew 6, if you could, you find your scripture from Matthew 6. We'll have it on the screen, but you might want to have that in your hand. The parallel passage for that is in Luke 11. Matthew doesn't tell us the occasion for why Jesus gave us this model of prayer, but Dr. Luke tells us that. Dr. Luke tells us that. He tells us that his disciples ask him, Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. In other words, what they were saying, because they had seen Jesus pray, what they were really saying is, in essence, Jesus, teach us how to pray the way you pray. Okay? The way that you pray. I think we need to learn that. This was his answer as recorded by Matthew. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then, not more than likely, not in the original text, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When Jesus teaches others to pray in the Bible, he gives us, instructs us, to focus on six things. Now again, this is Jesus teaching his disciples, that would be us, to pray. Now just a couple of general principles before we dig into that. Prayer is not informing God about something that he does not know about. Okay? God is omniscient. Simply means he is all-knowing. God knows everything. Prayer is not informing him about stuff he doesn't know. Nor is prayer an attempt to change God's mind. God never changes. God acts within his character. Okay. Prayer is simply the adoring submission of the creature to the Creator, of the disciple to the Master. We are getting in sync with him, not trying to get him get in sync with us. We are praising and adoring him. He cares. He is your Abba Father. So when you pray, "Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Hallowed be your name." Now, once Jesus brought his disciples and us to the right place, Abba Father, he then in this prayer makes three petitions about God and his glory, and then followed by three petitions about ourselves and our needs. Now, the order is significant. We aren't to jump in and start praying about ourselves. We shouldn't even jump in and start praying for our neighbors first. The order is very, very significant. We are to honor him as we do that. So the first petition is his name is to be honored. That is to say, we long that his name, that his character is to have top place, top billing in the world and people's hearts and our hearts. It's obviously, if we're going to pray that, he's got to have the first place in our hearts, our number one focus. What a great concept, a note of adoration to start our time of prayer. God, your name be honored. Now, I'm in a lot of different prayer things. You know, I pray with a lot of people, and, you know, we got some guys that pray on Friday morning. We pray a lot of times. There's a lot of times when we pray when we don't start by honoring God. It's not anything magic about the names. It's where our heart and where our soul is. Where our heart is that we know we want to honor you, God. So the first petition, the first thing Jesus said when he wants to teach us to pray is, "Oh God, Abba Father, no, I want your name to be honored." The second is a request for his kingdom to come. Now, in the New Testament, in the Gospel, God's kingdom is not a territory. It does not have boundaries around it. His kingdom is not a physical place. It means his rule. You might say his kingly rule. Jesus said that we are to pray his rule. His authority will come in this world. In other words, for his extension of his control in the lives of those who are at present time living apart from him, rebelling against him. It is really a prayer for the spread of the gospel. It is really an evangelistic prayer. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Oh God, let your name be honored. And let your rule be expanded in the hearts of people who do not love you or live for you. And the third petition is the same words, but it has a double meaning. It comes back. It's more about the kingdom, the people who are living in the kingdom now. If we are anxious to see God's rule conquer the apathy and the self-centeredness and the sinlessness of sinfulness of the people around us. And we really want that to happen. Don't you think we ought to be praying that His kingdom will become in our lives also? That His rule would be absolute in our lives also? Thy kingdom come, not only, thy will be done, not only in the lives of people who do not know You, God, but in the lives of those who have professed Him and live for You. It is only when these three priorities have been addressed that we can turn to our own needs with His normal logic, simple, hard-hitting truths that Jesus uses, especially in His parables. He teaches us to pray for ourselves. He says, pray for your daily bread. Pray for the forgiveness of your sins. And pray for the deliverance from evil. All of human life is there in those three requests. First, our bread. Now, that contains all of our needs. The word daily may indicate, and it can be translated as the continual supply daily of what we need, and we look at that. I mean, we pray this sometimes. I mean, we call it the Lord's Prayer. You know that. I mean, the beautiful song. You know, we read it together and we think about that daily needs. And I've had people tell me, and I've thought about, listen, You bless me. I got money. I don't need You to give me, the food that I'm eating today. Now, it couldn't be that. The needs we have today, but it's not just physical. It's the emotional needs. It's the needs that we have. But this is a very rare, a very profound, really a paradoxical word. Many good scholars believe that this carries with it, really enunciated this way, that God, give us tomorrow's bread today. What are they talking about that? Give us just a taste, just a taste of Your glory. Give us just a taste of the eternal nourishment that we are going to receive in heaven for eternity and eternity. God, encourage us. Give us what we need today to live and to serve You. Give us our daily bread. It includes physical, but it's much more. And then he says, we need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. Any disciple knows that we have to be forgiven. Daily, hourly, sometimes every 5 minutes, because of who we are. Forgive us of our sins. We will never be perfect. We will never be perfect. We will never get to a place where we do not need to ask God to be forgiven and to be forgiven. We'll not be perfect. But listen, we can't take that and say, well, I'm not perfect. I'll just keep doing this and ask God to forgive me. We can. We can grow to a place to be mature. We can move the scale, if you will, in that sanctification. We can live better than we're living now. And we can become what God has created us to be. Will we still sin? Yes, we will. But we look to God every day to say, God, forgive me of my sins. And there is with that a commitment to live and try to live the best we can to be what He's called us to be. And that can allow us to show that love and that forgiveness to our neighbors. This is a possibility, but we will never get beyond, as Christians, as disciples, to a point where we do not need to pray and ask for forgiveness. Forgive us. But Jesus goes on, and this is what really tore me up. People say a preacher should never preach a sermon until before he preaches that sermon to himself. Well, I can tell you, this point really got all over me. Jesus goes on to say, you remember what it says? Forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. That's tough, isn't it? Before God can bless us as we pray, we have to forgive those who have sinned against us. Before God can bless us as a congregation, as we commit to pray for our neighbors and to blanket all of Kingwood with prayer. I mean, just assume we have about, you know, and I'm going to miss, but I'm going to say, we have about 350 family units. We have about 250, a little less than that, family units that are active in the church. If, let's say 200, if 200 family units together, not each individual, but together, if they prayed for their closest 100 neighbors, someone tell me who's better at math than me, how many families, how many homes would be prayed for? That could be 20,000, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you like to be a part of a spiritual family that knew that this family, basically every 30 days, we're praying for 20,000 homes in our community by name? Do we really believe God's not going to honor that? I don't think any of us would believe that. But the truth of the matter is, as we commit to that, We have to understand that we have got to forgive those who have sinned against us, who have wronged us. If you look at verses 14 and 15, I'm not going to put words in the inspired writers of the Bible, but when you look at that, and in addition to that, if you look at the character of God, God can't forgive us of the sin that's in our lives if we don't forgive those who have sinned against us. How can we reach our hand open toward God and say, "Oh God, I'm sorry, forgive me of that sin." But we go to you and say, "But I'm not going to forgive you, Vaughn." Someone tell me that makes sense. Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. He says it right there. Jesus says, and forgive us. Here's how you pray. Forgive us our sins as we have, past tense, forgiven those who have sinned against us. I think a lot of times our prayers aren't answered because we think we can't forgive that person. Of course you can forgive that person. Of course you can. So he gives us the first petition for us, for our personal needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Supply for us the power, the encouragement, the spirit to live our lives. Forgive us of our sins because every day we sin as we have forgiven others. And then the third petition is for guidance and strength against the enemy. Jesus had no illusions about the power of the evil one and evil in the world. Right before this, in Matthew 6, not long before this, was the 40 days in the desert when Jesus was tempted. Jesus defeated the evil one in the desert. He came to say, I want you to pray to God. Because how did Jesus do that? Jesus used God's word and the Spirit of God, and he prayed to his Father. He beat the temptation. Every aspect of temptation that we can look at, Jesus defeated by the power of God. He says, ask your Father, your Abba Father, the all-powerful, creative God, creator God, ask him to deliver you from temptation, from the evil one, as we do that. People say often, you know, and you know, you've heard it, and you probably thought, listen, Jesus just doesn't understand. He doesn't understand the situation that I'm in. He doesn't understand what happened here 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 years ago. He doesn't understand. He just doesn't understand. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He challenged you and me. Pray this way. Oh, God, deliver me from temptation. Deliver me from the hold of the evil one. Abba, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, your name be honored. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Our needs supplied, our sins forgiven, and our temptation overcome. He gave us the prayer, the opportunity to live in that place. Needs supplied, sins forgiven. Delivered from temptation. I think that's a good way to start our focus for me for the rest of my life, praying for my neighbors, those around me who need God's presence and love, whether they're Christian or not. We are to pray for God's everlasting glory. Your name be honored. For God's eternal will to be done in others' lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's eternal will to be done in our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. For provision for the present circumstances and for the future, give us this day our daily bread. God, show me your glory for forgiveness of our past sins and the grace to forgive others and deliverance from our future. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do we need to pray today? Do we need to pray in a different way? Do we need to pray with more confidence than we've ever prayed before in our whole lives? Do we need to start at the right place? As a congregation, I'm calling you to do that.
Thank you for listening to this production of Woodridge Baptist Church in Kingwood, Texas. For more information about the church or help finding more resources, see woodridge.org.